the Savage Studios, this is the Savage Empire with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is indeed the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Good to have you back. Let's jump right into it, shall we? Yankees finalized their 40-man roster. Well, so far anyway. As their 40-man roster deadline came and went, and the Yankees made some moves. Some kind of surprising, some not so surprising. We'll start with the one who is probably not so surprising. That would be Clint Frazier. Even I knew, and I'm one of the biggest Clint fans out there, even I knew that the Yankees were not going to hold on to him. There was a slim chance, but I'm guessing that they figured for the $2.4, $2.5 million, they probably would have taken an arbitration. And with his health injury, it's just not worth it, not in their best interest. Hopefully, he can recover and catch on with another team and will have a productive career. Maybe not quite what he was supposed to be at, but, you know, it's always about health first. So, you know, hoping you do good, Clint, somewhere else, all right? If not, you know, maybe nobody takes a flyer on him and he clears waivers and he takes a minor league deal to stay with the Yankees and try to fight for a spot. But my guess is that he probably wants to go to a place where he'll have a better chance to start if he is healthy indeed. So he can elect to be a minor league free agent if nobody claims him. He has the talent and the potential is there to be a pretty hell of a player. So we'll see if somebody takes a flyer out on him or not. One of the other players that was surprising was Rougui Odor, who the Yankees are paying nothing, basically nothing for, the league minimum to keep him, which is like $500,000. I was glad they cut him. He really is kind of a wasted bench spot. I mean, he's a lefty bat, but doesn't really fit in their plans of how to reshape the infield, and even for the price of basically nothing to keep him there, it's not worth it. He's just clogging up a roster spot. Kind of reminds me of somebody else. But anyway, and this one is kind of surprising because we've all assumed that Tyler Wade had just, you know, had incriminating photos of Brian Cashman with some, you know, compromising situations. And basically was going to be a lifetime Yankee. So they cut him. And that was very surprising. And you know, I mean, he plays his role good. He's a guy who can steal. He can play almost every position on the field. And there is value in that. Now, last year when he actually got to play, he was productive. But he's not somebody that the Yankees bank on playing on a regular basis. He's kind of a, you know, a good player that you can just throw in when you need to for either, you know, a pinch run in defensive purposes or, you know, in case of injury. So he's good for that. But like I said, with Odor, they're going to reshape this infield up. So there really might not be a spot for him because depending on what they end up doing with Voit and what they do at third base with Urshela, if they keep Urshela and they actually go get a third baseman, maybe Urshela might become the utility guy because he can play short and third, and it probably wouldn't be too much to ask to play second, but they already have LeMahieu that can play second and third and first. So they're covered. First base is, you know, but Tyler Wade is not somebody you want to throw at first base. Now, they did keep Gittens, which was kind of surprised. I thought he was an obvious guy to cut because I mean, they're going to make a move at first base either through a trade to get Olsen or bring back Rizzo, maybe Freeman. He's out there. There's moves to be made. So really, this kid is not, and he's not really a kid. I think he's like 28. Is not somebody that you know, is going to be part of the future. And I feel like him holding a 40-man spot's kind of a waste. especially like we go back to what I just said. Voit's future is still dangling. So if he ends up remaining on the team, if they cannot trade him, then Gittens is a AAA all-star. That's what he becomes. So that was surprising in sense of getting rid of Wade. I was very surprised on that. I really, really was surprising. Clint, I wasn't surprised of, and Andujar somehow made it still. That was kind of surprising. I think most people thought that he would be moved or let go too, because really there isn't a position for him. He's not very good at third. He's transitioning into an outfielder. He's capable. But really, I think the Yankees have pretty much moved on from him. So does he become one of those break glass in case of emergency type players? Or is he somebody that they're hoping lights it up in AAA Scranton and is able to move later on as somebody will want him? Maybe that's what they're banking up. Maybe they just couldn't move him. Maybe he's in part of another deal down the road. I don't know. I was very surprised, though. So he made it. And the Yankees moved on from Nick Nelson. And tell you what, that was really nice to see. I mean, I thought they would just flat out cut him. They actually traded him. They traded him and Donnie Sands, the catcher they added to the 40-man, to the Phillies for minor league first baseman TJ Rumfeld and minor league lefty Joel Valdez. So that is nice because Nick Nelson was fucking brutal. I mean, just fucking brutal. That guy cannot be on this team anymore. Fucking horrible. So a little note on Rumfeld, who we got back. He's 21. Philly's 12th round pick last summer. So he was just eligible to be traded from the season. He was signed to the Class A affiliate. He hit 250. 426, 263 with a double, 21 walks, 11 strikeouts, and 107 pro plate appearances. He's somebody that the Yankees are going to see what they can do with. I don't think he's anything right now, but we'll see. Valdez is in rookie level Dominican Summer League. 262 ERA with a 70-32 strikeout to walk ratio in 75 2/3 professional frames. So kid's got electric stuff. So that might be the gem of the trade. So he is 21, and we'll see what happens with him. So that's somebody we'll keep an eye on. So, you know, all in all, just getting rid of Nick Nelson. I mean, we could have literally got anything back. We could have gotten Torres back. I think he's a free agent, but I still would have taken him back over having Nick Nelson. That's worth it right there. So the Yankees made those moves. And so they added Oswaldo Cabrera, Ron Marinaccio, probably butchered that, Everson Pereira, Steven Ridlings, who we saw come up last year and tear it up, and J.P. Sears to the 40-man. So now they keep those guys. They're protected from the Rule 5 draft. So we'll see who the Yankees take. They might be moves coming. So maybe, you know, that's all they wanted to do, just to get those guys protected. They did leave Josh Breaux unprotected. And if you don't know who he is, he was a pretty good catcher. I saw him in Somerset. The kid is pretty decent. Not bad. I saw him firsthand. And he was probably the one surprise that wasn't protected. So my guess is that somebody will take him in the Rule 5 draft. Now, we can trade back for him, but I don't see it happening. The Yankees have a lot of catchers. So most likely he'll get the go. So they saved money on arbitration from Frazier and Wade. So that's good, because they're going to look to spend. And A lot of people are saying they're going to blow it open this year, so they're going to save money any way they can, so it doesn't look too crazy. So Cabrera is number 8 in the organization, according to Baseball America. And hit 24 homers last year with Somerset. I did see him play. Kid is a stud, too, I think. Pereira is another stud. And, you know, these are guys that are probably going to get flipped. But you know how I feel, and it's not prospect hugging. It's, you know, being able to use these guys at some point. Maybe not right away because they're in, you know, double A. But within a year or two, these top prospects need to either be moved or fucking brought up and incorporated somehow. Because if you're not going to use them, then trade them now. But if they're part of the future plans, then you have to make plans around them. Not just try to squeeze them in because you didn't want to move them. That's how you stunt their growth. That's how you get, you know, situations like a Clint Frazier and other players like that. Now, Clint obviously got hurt, but I don't feel like the Yankees really gave him a fair shake either. So, it works both ways. They kind of just tried to fit him in there and then ended up not using him as much as they should because 75-year-old Brett Gardner cannot retire. And speaking of Gardner, I'm sure the Yankees are probably just waiting to see how their roster fills out before they try to bring him back for another year. With another year option, I'm sure. So let's keep an eye on that. You know it's coming. You know what I think about that.
It's fucking embarrassing!
That's exactly what I fucking think about that. It is fucking embarrassing. All right? I'd rather see Florial get his fucking kicks up there in the majors and let him take his shots. You know, he can do exactly the same as Gardner. Even if he struggles. He can hit 200. He can play center field. He's a lot faster. I'd rather see that. But if we're going to go free agency, you know, then let's get a free agent. So then there is no more room for a Brett Gardner. Because if there's no room for Clint Frazier, there should not be room for Brett Gardner. All right? That's how I feel about that. So one of the big rumors also was Verlander. The Yankees were going after, and he ended up signing a 2-year, what will end up being $50 million, which will put him into his, you know, year 41 of his life season at the end of that. So $50 million for a 39-year-old, that's insane. But turns out the Yankees offered him a 1-year deal at 25. So they figured, well, we'll go as far as 1 year at 25. And then you'll be 40, and by then we just assume your arm will fall off. But the Astros, no. The Astros are like, we believe in you, Justin. We know that your arm won't fall off until after you turn 41. And then you can go away. So whether you wanted him or not, and I felt like the Yankees should take a flyer on him. And $25 million a year, I thought that should be the max. You knew he was going to get more than Syndergaard. Or at least he was going to ask for more. He ended up did getting more. And Syndergaard got $21 million for a year. Verlander, with his player options, going to end up getting $50. So it's crazy. So the 1 year, $25 million from the Yankees, that's kind of surprising. Because normally they try to go cheap with these injury guys, the rebuild projects like a Kluber. But they went all in on Verlander, and yet he did not want to come to the Bronx again. So I don't know. Maybe that should tell us something. Maybe we should just stop going after him. Because, you know, that's a lot of money. But Houston really wanted him back, so fuck him. Let him go there then. So as we stand right now, our rotation consists of Cole, Montgomery, Severino, Nestor Cortez, Herman, and Tylon, who will miss probably the first month of the season. Now, Cole is Cole. We know what we're going to get out of him. Monty should have no restrictions on him as he didn't last year, so that's good. Severino will be looking to pitch in his first full season, which seems like 4 years now, 3 fucking years, I guess. It's crazy. So I doubt he's going to be able to throw 200 innings. And this is what I was talking about before. Now, they're going to look to add another starter, I think. But I really feel like they should look to go to a six-man rotation. I said this before. I don't know why they won't do it. In honesty, if it keeps these guys from getting hurt, it will save innings. And then later on, when it comes down to crunch time, you can always go to that five-man rotation. And the sixth starter, who's struggling the most, will get pushed to the bullpen. And that's the way it goes. Because you don't need six starters in the playoffs. You barely need five. I don't understand what the problem is. I think eventually baseball will head that way anyway, because that's just the way things go. So, you know, we still have Garcia in the minors, Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, Medina, and Michael King. King will be on, you know, King's the long relief guy and emergency starter, which is great. That's his role. That's perfect for him. Clark Schmidt needs to have a fucking step forward this year or his stock will plummet. So my guess is that he'll be in AAA, but he needs to dominate AAA. So he's somebody that the Yankees think about bringing up later on in the year. He should be their first option. Garcia, I pretty much have no faith in. The kid had his 15 minutes, and then last year he pitched to like a 7 ERA in AAA. That's not good. And honestly, I don't know what his trade value is, but he's somebody they should look to move, because I really don't think he's going to have a long career in the majors anyway. I think he's a flash in the pan. Luis Gil, on the other hand, pushed when he came up. He's shown that he can pitch in the majors. And that's somebody I would like to see get a full shot too. But these are kids who are not going to be allowed to throw 200 innings. So you're going to get 140, 150 innings out of these guys. You got to have somebody to pick up the rest, because otherwise you're going to tax the bullpen. And the bullpen without Britton right now seems to be a power arm short. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens there too. They're going to make moves, whether it's trades. Trading would be the best way to reshape the roster. If you want to go and give up some top prospects, like everybody, we're still waiting on the Olsen trade. And we saw how that blew up, because if you listen to my last episode, we were going off of what, you know, the Gary Sanchez RSW guy was saying, and that blew up in his face. Hardcore bad. Ended up so bad for him over the week that he kind of just, you know, he's in hiding right now. And I feel bad for the kid. I do. But if you put your name to something, you better be right. And I said this last week. The ratio he got was legendary. And if he was just looking for fucking clicks and he was looking to, you know, build his profile, well, congratulations. But most people think you're a joke. Now, you know, you can come back and maybe you'll be right down the line and all will be forgiven. But until that happens, I'm not going to give you credibility, my man. You know, you can't throw yourself out there and be horribly as wrong as you were. And even with the Verlander thing, he was wrong on that too. So, I don't know, man. He thinks his sources are throwing out misinformation to piss Rizzo off in case Rizzo, we end up re-signing him because he's our backup plan. I mean, come on. The Yankees are not going to use some kid on Twitter to use misinformation. They would use one of the beat writers whose story will be read by millions of people and not just thousands of people on Twitter. So, you know, I mean, if you truly believe that, I hope you're right, man. I really do. Because, you know, even I felt bad. And people were, you know, according to him, sending him death threats and shit like that. And we come on, man. Be better than that. You want to bust his kid's balls. Bust his balls. But don't get personal. Don't fucking threaten him. I mean, you know, just unfollow him then. Make a joke out of him, which is fine. He deserves that much at least. But you can't just fucking, you know, I mean, don't take it to where it doesn't need to be, all right? Leave the death threats. It's not, nothing that this kid said is worthy of a death threat. Come on. Let's Let's take it down about 20%. All right, come on. Crazy. So, you know, as we wait to see what happens in the free agency, because we got to remember the CBA is about to expire. All right. And I think it's on December 1st. I think that's right. Might have to look at that again, but December 1st at like midnight, the CBA will expire and baseball will most likely just go into a lockout, which means no teams can sign anybody until there's a new deal reached. So there's going to be a frenzy, you would hope, because it's one of those situations where teams may need to sign players. Players might look to take maybe a little less just to get signed now in case the CBA, the terms of that means like maybe a salary cap, which I don't know, or the tax threshold is lowered. So instead of like 210, it might be 200, maybe a little less, and teams aren't going to be looking to throw out $30+ million contracts, which I kind of hope in a way. I mean, it's a lot of money to be throwing at some one player, you know, but whatever. It's not my money. What the fuck do I care? But players might try to get that $30 million contract like a Seager or Correa right now, who may be looking to capitalize on the biggest deal they can get now before the CBA expires, before teams are all going to be like, well, we can't afford to give you a $30 million contract. And the only teams that might be able to do so are the ones who aren't ready to, you know, compete, but just want to sign a name who will bring fans to the stadium, like a Miami, you know, Detroit, places like that. Detroit is heavily in on Correa because, as we all seen, there was a picture of Correa having lunch with AJ Lynch in Detroit, and that's, it's whatever, man. I honestly think that the Yankees are going to sign Seager anyway, because he's probably going to be cheaper, and he's a left-handed bat, and they want to go more balance in the lineup. So he checks two boxes. Plus, he's not a douche like Correa has been proven to be all this week by talking shit about Derek Jeter and his gold gloves. Now, I'm sure nobody in the Yankees office gives a fuck, because all the kid has to do is come here and start winning, and nobody will remember anything he said about Derek Jeter. That's just the way it is. That's the truth. You know it. I know it. Don't pretend like you'd be upset about it. If he helps us win a World Series, you're going to forget anything he says about Jeter, because nobody's going to fucking care. Jeter did have a response back, but, you know, he answered it in his typical Jeter way, and it's cool. No big deal. I'm sure he doesn't give two fucks, because he would love to have him on his team, I'm sure, too. Now, you know, speaking of Jeter, why is it that every few months or so we have to, it feels like Yankee fans have to defend Derek Jeter's career on Twitter, because the analytics, people like to throw that out. It's usually these kids who never saw the guy play who just come out and say like, oh, he was overrated and his career was shit. And it's like, if you never saw him play, then I feel sorry for you, because the highlights you see of him is only a small part of all the years. And I've seen him from beginning to end. And you would kill. I would kill for Derek Jeter right now on this team. Give me prime Jeter on this team. Give me any of those guys from back then on this team right now. I would take them. All right? It was a different era. And the kid is a leader. Jeter was a leader and the captain, the heartbeat of this team. And that's just things you can't quantify with numbers. All right? And it's not like he was putrid at shortstop. It's not like he was, you know, an error waiting to happen. Yeah, his range wasn't shit, but he was always in the right position to make the play. And yeah, he got older, it got worse. That's what happens when you get older. You get a little slower. Shit happens, man. Hey, you 20-year-old kids out there, guess what? We'll see how fast you are when you're 36, 37 years old. All right, it happens to the best of us. There's guys way older than me now that are that are saying the same shit about me being at 40. They wish they were my age. They can do half the shit I can do. And I wish I was 20 and could do half the shit that you guys can do. It happens to us all. But I'm getting, you know, it's getting old and tiring having to argue this all the time. I don't even argue it anymore. Say what you want, man. But just know that you're a fucking joke and you're wrong. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. But whatever. You know, I'm just the Jeter talk every couple months. It's getting ridiculous. It's like we talk about Jeter more now than we did when he was playing. And it's usually because we have to defend it. And not just the fan bases, to our own. How am I going to argue with some kid out there who's never seen, was born in 2004 and has no fucking idea what kind of a player Jeter was? But he's going to go off of the numbers. Oh, fuck you. You know what, man? Concentrate on going outside and getting a girl. How's that? Why don't you worry about that? Fucking people out there. I'm sorry I had to go off. But, you know what I mean. It's a fucking joke. So that was my rant. Moving on. Judge has expressed interest on remaining a Yankee for life. We all know this. And if it was me, if I'm Brian Cashman, I would do it now. Do it now when it's cheaper. Because you're letting the chips hit the table next year. And if the Yankees have an awesome offseason this year, and they end up winning the World Series next year, how much do you think Judge's stock is going to go up? He's going to be a big part of that, I'm sure. And then, you know, are you prepared to pay him over $30 million a year at age 31? And I bring this up all the time because I want you guys to think about it, because there's a lot of people out there who refuse to think about it. He will be 31. How many years are you willing to give him compared to how many years he's going to want? Now, if he's going to want to remain the Yankee for life, at 31, he's going to want at least a 7-year deal, which will put him up to 38. No way they're giving him 10, so that's obvious. Are you willing to give him a 7-year deal around the average of $30 million per year? That's a decision that they have to make. But if they can sign him now to like a 6-year deal, 5-6-year deal, around probably $27, $28 million per, that might get it done. Now, I'm just throwing out numbers. I don't know. He might want more. He might not want that kind of deal. But if they can get him anything under $30 million a year, I'm fine with it. Because it leaves them with more flexibility to do what they have to do later on. You're going to have a lot of guys that are going to be making top money. It's going to be top heavy. And at long-term deals. And I know, you know, the Yankees are the number one franchise in all sports in terms of revenue. And I keep telling you this because you guys keep thinking that the Yankees are going to spend $400 billion this year. In terms of team salary. No, they will not. Get that out of your head now. They may go as high as 3. But that will only be one big free agent who will get that big chunk. So if they get a Correa, who my guess is he's going to want more than Lindor. Now, I don't know if he's publicly said that. And I keep telling you this. He will want more in Lindor, which means the starting annual will be $35 million a year. 35. At age 27 already. That contract will be good for 4, maybe 5 years. If we give him a 10-year deal, the back end of that 5 will be putrid. Because he'll be on the wrong side of 30. And you'll be wishing. Now, I mean, if we win multiple World Series, you'll be fine with it. We all were. But if they don't, that's a lot of money. And that means money that they're not going to spend on other areas of need when those needs come up. Remember what I said last week? It's a chessboard. You have to see the moves ahead. We're not playing dominoes where it's one move here. Oh, look, jump. No. It's chess. There's a strategy. You have to think 5 moves ahead. You have to see the board to know how you're going to win. And that is what Cashman does. He sees the board. And he sees it differently than Joe Yankee Twitter guy out there like me and like you guys. But I try to see the moves ahead. And that's how I base everything. Because otherwise, I'd be like, give Correa a 10-year, $35 million, a year deal. And sign Seager. One of the Seagers. We can put it, both of them at third. Which would instantly make this team better. And go get Sterling Marte. And that's another, $40 million. No problem. Or $60 million. No problem. Add it. And then, let's go Robbie Ray too. Now, if it was me to make this the perfect season, the perfect offseason, I would trade for Olsen. All right? But I'm not giving up Volpe. I'm not giving up Luis Gil. Heel has already proven he can pitch in the majors. Now, Oakland would most likely want him. But Volpe's the guy that Cashman does not want to give up. And I would not give up Dominguez either, because unless it's somebody like Mike Trout, this kid is being compared to Mike Trout. And let's see if he tears it up this year. Then maybe you trade him or not, because it's going to be a big step for him. And he's still only 18 years old. When somebody has a high ceiling like that and he's 18 and you're going to be, you can basically control this kid until he's like 30. You can't let go of things like that. Peraza will probably get dealt unless they can't figure out shortstop. And then he's a year closer to the majors, as this year he'll be in AAA Scranton, which means he could see the field by the All-Star break. Or if injuries happen, he could be up here this year. So maybe he's somebody they don't move unless they're getting somebody like an Olsen, because he's close. He'll be closer this year. Medina, I can possibly move him because we haven't seen him pitch yet. But the kid translates to be an ace-level type pitcher. And pitching is always needed. And he can easily leap over the guys ahead of him right now. So maybe we move a Clark Schmidt, and maybe we move a Garcia, who I would love. I would get rid of him in a heartbeat. If somebody wants him, take him. Because if they didn't believe in him in that Tampa playoff game, do they believe in him now, especially when he struggled last year? Maybe somebody else can fix him, and he'd be great. Maybe we can get some value for it. But this is what I'm talking about. Now, I would go get Robbie Ray. If you're going to spend money, get Robbie Ray. Trade for Olsen, and that solves your first base. That gives you kind of a co-ace because he just won the Cy Young Award. He beat Gerrit Cole for it. So that's like having two aces right there. And if you have Severino, who can be an ace-type pitcher, doesn't have to put all the pressure on him, and he can be our number three. That's a hell of a three-headed monster. Just saying. All right? I would look to, since we have DJ not going anywhere, I would look to move Glaber. His youth might be the only value he has of him, because he's not very good at short. He's better at second, but his power seems to be all gone. And you're going to have to pay him soon. Or you're going to have to let him walk. So he might be somebody you look to trade. Voit, I would trade just because they have to. There's just, unless they do absolutely nothing at first base, he is kind of just useless on this team. Now, whether they put him in that Oakland trade, I don't know. I'm hearing Oakland doesn't really want him, so we'll see what happens. But, let's look at the free agent tracker here. Semien, to me, makes the most sense at short. Because you can pay him at a shorter contract. Yes, the average annual is going to be high, but it's going to be half the years you're going to have to give a Correa. Because you can get Semien for a 4-year deal and be able to move him to third if you need to. But I think they really want Corey Seager, and that might cost $30 million a year. I mean... That's a lot. I hope they can get him for less, but I think it's going to cost 30. So that's why I would go Simeon, who won't. I mean, what's he going to cost a year? $25 million? I mean, they're not going to pay him $30. $25 million. I know what's $5 million difference, right? But it's the years. Seager is going to obviously be a 5-6 year deal, but you can get Simeon for probably 4. You know, so at best, 2 years at short, 2 years at third, 1 year at short, 3 years at third. That's not bad for a guy who can hit 40 home runs. And, you know, was in the MVP voting. So that's what I would do. And then you worry about short later, but these prospects have to pan out. That's the key. They have to pan out. Otherwise, this blows up in my face and it blows up in Cashman's face. And I'm willing to believe him that Volpe is the kid. He's the guy. Or Peraza, because Peraza's highly ranked too. But Peraza, my guess, is probably getting traded. Now, where does that put us for center field? Because you're going to want somebody who can play center field in case Hicks gets hurt or when Hicks gets hurt, depending on how you look at it. And most people would like to see fucking Chris Taylor, who could be the super utility guy who could play second, third, short, and the outfield. So he's 31. He rejected an $18.4 million qualifying offer. So he's going to want at least $20 million. It's going to be more than $20 million. Now, do you sign this guy and he becomes what we envisioned DJ LeMahieu to be, which was that super utility guy? But there's a lot of outfield depth right now and everybody's healthy. So how is he going to play? Because Judge is basically, he's penciled in at right. Left field is Gallo and Hicks is center field right now. Stanton is going to be in that rotation to give these guys a day off too. So you're not going to pay Chris Taylor $20+ million to be a backup infielder, backup center fielder. That just makes no sense, playing possibly 1 day, 1-2 days a week. That's a lot of money because you're kind of already doing that with DJ and he makes like 15. So, you know, that's why I'm not sure if they're going to keep Urshela or trade him or just flat out release him because he doesn't make that much money, but there is value in him and I wouldn't be surprised if they move him. That way it opens the door for DJ and someone like Chris Taylor to possibly split third base. And that way you can use Chris Taylor in the outfield sometimes. It makes more sense that way. And this is all assuming they sign Rizzo back or Olsen back. If not, then it's kind of a DJ and Voit situation at first base. It gets really confusing. I know it hurts my head to think about it too. If not, you could be looking to go a little bit cheaper and possibly get someone like a Josh Harrison, but he's not really a center fielder. Jock Peterson is out there, and he had a pretty good postseason with Atlanta. And he might not cost so much. It's Brett Gardner, of course, but they gotta bite the bullet on that already and stop bringing him back. There is Odubel Herrera, who can play all three outfielder spots. He would come very cheap. Doesn't really hit much, but if you're just looking for a body out there, he can track it down. He's pretty quick. But I wouldn't sign him because he can't hit worth a shit. And this is somebody who's possibly going to have to play a lot when Aaron Hicks gets hurt, of course. Gets kind of thin after that. There's... yeah. Brian Goodwin, garbage. Yeah, there's not really a whole lot of options, but Jock Peterson would not be bad. He would be somebody that would come cheap, or you can go the minor league free agents out there and then stock it up, AAA, and then, you know, kind of like what they did last year and just have one of those guys you never heard of, like, you know, Greg Allen, bring him back. and just have one of them ready to go. But I think they will take center field a little seriously, which means maybe if there's a market out there, maybe moving Hicks. Because if you sign someone like a Marte, he's obviously going to start. You're not signing him to be your backup. And you're paying Hicks $10 million, basically. So maybe Hicks can become that fourth outfielder, which would be fine with me. So maybe you do that. But that's still adding a lot of money to the payroll, and you're paying a bunch of guys to be on the bench. And we haven't even gotten the arbitration yet, because Gary's going to get a raise. I think Glaber gets a raise this year. Obviously, Voit and Urshela are going to get raises. So that's adding more payroll on the guys that you don't necessarily need. And we really haven't done anything yet. So it's getting to that go time here, because the one thing they can absolutely not do, what they can absolutely not do, and I can't stress this enough, is come back with the same exact roster. Because the only move they made so far, besides the 40-man tweaking, which is nothing, it doesn't hurt or make this roster any better, because those are just minor league kids that they kept. Good prospects, mind you, but not any immediate impact players. Maybe Peraza. Is to come back with the exact same roster and try to win again. And to Brian Cashman, if he does that, I say this.
Give your balls a tug, you tit fucker.
Yes. Give your balls a tug, you tit fucker. By the way, all those sound bites are from Letterkenny. If you've not watched this show, you're doing yourself an injustice. Go watch that show. It's on Hulu. Funny as shit. It's Canadian humor, but it's funny. It's a definitely man humor show, but I like the sound bites. So, yeah. Brian Cashman definitely can go fuck off if he does nothing. Because at that point, you talked up a big game. He said the Yankees are going to be spending money, and you do nothing but just bring back the same guys at a little bit higher annual and then try to figure shit out. You got to make trades, and you got to sign some free agents. Now, I don't want just any free agents to be signed just for the sake of signing people. Unless they're good, you know, depth. And then that's fine. But not somebody that, you know, that's the only moves we're making. Because I'd be all right with a Jock Peterson. If, you know, he's a lefty bat, he can play center. He'd be a major upgrade over Gardner, that's for sure. And he's younger. He's like 40 years younger. So, you know, and it wouldn't cost you a whole lot. He's somebody you can get cheap. And he's somebody that if he has to ride the pine or splits time with Hicks to keep Hicks healthy, I'm fine with it. If you go get Marte, I'd be fine with that too. It's going to cost a lot of money. And there is competition for his services out there, and he'd be well worth it. But then I feel like you have to trade Hicks to make that work. Because you can't move Stanton. You can move Joey Gallo, and there's a big market for Joey Gallo out there who will be a free agent at the end of the year. But I kind of feel like the Yankees brought him in and they'll let him ride and let him walk free agent-wise at the end of the season, because he'll be a free agent at the end of this season when Judge is a free agent. And I feel like they rather keep Judge, even though Gallo is like 2 years younger. But I don't know. It depends on what they want to do with their coaches and how they change their philosophy. Now, Cashman did say that they're looking to change their philosophy and coaches by adding more coaches. So kind of like an NFL staff, college football staff, if you will. They'll be like the hitting coach, but he'll have like a whole staff of his own. You know, there'll be more guys involved in the pitching aspect. So Matt Blake will have like his own department of coaches. And, you know, so those, you know, their coaches report to those guys, and those guys report to Boone, and who oversees everything as the manager. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's bad. I don't know if that's too many chefs in the kitchen, so to speak. It's something to see. Maybe it's good, because analytically, maybe it'll be better. People can bring more input to things. Maybe there's different ways of looking at something, and then they can all collaborate and figure something out that's the best way to do it. I mean, I always felt like a hitting coach and a pitching coach and the manager, that's basically what they did anyway. So I don't know if more voices is good or bad. So we'll see what happens there. So I would expect more coaching. I did see Eric Chavez had interviewed to be one of the coaches, probably for first base, which would be fine with me. Plus, he can work with the infielders, which would be fine. And he was a former Yankee, so it shouldn't be an issue. I wouldn't mind that. I don't know if they hired him. I don't think they hired him. I haven't heard it, but we'll see what happens. So, move on from that. That's where I would go. I would try to, it's not the big names that you need to go get now, which would be fine with me. But if you can build a team with second tier, maybe free agents, and you can get more value out of them, because like I said, it's not me being cheap. It's not Mike Trainor being cheap. It's not the Savage Empire being cheap. I don't own the team. It's Hal Steinbrenner being cheap because he is not proven to be the kind of guy who just spends. Now obviously our payroll is high, but that's market value for some of these guys. He overpaid for Cole, but like I said before, that was Cashman's white whale, his words. And, you know, how many of those do you get where it's an absolute, I have to have this guy? How many of those chances does Cashman get to say before it bites him in the ass, before Hal's like, no, listen, our payroll is this high, and I can't go higher. And it's not about the tax threshold. It's just the fact that why should I pay this much when other teams who are paying less, like the Atlanta Braves, can win a World Series? And that's when you have to look deep within your team and how things are designed and the players you have. And that's what they were doing this offseason, because they said this team will be different next year. That's the promise. It does not just mean spending the money. It means moving some of the dead weight, as we just saw with Clint Frazier, Rougned Odor, and Tyler Wade. Dead weight. Moving some of these guys who will not fit the next current scheme of things, whether it's hitting or pitching. If they're not projected to be anybody who can help, then there's no reason to have them on this team and you get rid of them. So we have to wait and see. But it sounds exciting, right? I mean, you're listening to this and I'm going crazy just throwing out scenario after scenario about what can possibly happen. And even I'm excited about it. Or worried, depending on how things fall. So we're not there yet. This week, this Thanksgiving week could be interesting. All right, so we got to keep an eye on that. As you know, you'll be on Twitter. Everybody will be on Twitter, so you keep your ear to it. We'll be talking about it. I'll be talking about it. And that's just some of the moves I would make, who I think would be instant upgrades. I'd like to know more about what you guys think. I know a lot of you guys are just willing to give away all of our good prospects to get Matt Olson and, get some other people. And I'm not willing to give up all the prospects. And if that makes me a prospect hugger, so be it. You're going to need them later on, especially if they're highly touted prospects. They're going to be good players. So they might as well be good for us at a controlled price. Although, depending on what the CBA says, that might go out the window too. So it's going to be interesting. So stick with me. We'll go through this together. We're going to talk about it anyway. The offseason's just getting started. It's starting to heat up, all right? And I'm going to let it go there. And until next time, I want you guys to be safe. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk after the holiday. Hope you guys can all get together with your friends and family this week. and make it feel like normal, like the way it used to be. Be thankful for what you got, what you're going to get. Be thankful for your lives, your health. And just, you know, work on being positive. That's all we can do in this life. There's no reason to be negative all the time. I'll speak to you next weekend after you're all done fighting each other on Black Friday for your Christmas presents. So much for being positive. So until then, once again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I'll talk to you soon. And of course, go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @ Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees.